Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Welcome to the Hot Mess Room week 2. All right, last week, I told you all about how we're going to take your hot mess room and move it into organized storage. Now let's talk about what storage is first. First of all, you need to have a storage space for your life. You need it for primarily two reasons. Number one, items that you only use 1 to 4 times a year that you don't want in the general flow of your house. And number two, items that are being saved for a specific person for a specific date in the future. Everyone has items that need to go in storage. Maybe you only have a closet full, which is very rare. Some people have half their house full. The more organized you get, the more you will appreciate having a well-functioning storage room. Now, if you don't have a basement or an outside storage room, you might have an attic, you might have a shed, you might use part of your garage, or you might have a room in your house which is for your office or crafts, and you use part of that for storage. Last week, if you signed up for the Hot Mess Room free 28-day challenge, then you received a free ebook all about where to donate, sell, and recycle things. You received the fun, colorful printables that will go in your household reference binder, and the information on how I set up storage rooms as a professional organizer and in my own house. I use Home Depot brand shelving and Sterilite tubs, and it works perfectly. They're clear, you can see through them, you can listen to the last episode for that. If you signed up last week by going to organize365.com/HMR for Hot Mess Room, then over the last 7 days, you've gone through the typical storage room items that almost every person has, and I've talked about numerous times on the podcast. Those are holiday decorations, home decor that you're either not using, you've used in the past, you're holding on to, you know, to redecorate your house, and photo frames. Those things are in almost every single storage space I have ever organized. So if you signed up last week, you got some cool printables, you got a great ebook, and you went through the things that you already knew we were going to organize in the storage room. This week and the 2 weeks after, we're going to deep dive into some of the items I have not tackled before in a storage room, and the items that tend to trip us up more. This podcast today is chock full. I'm trying to slow down my talking. I tend to talk really fast because I move pretty fast and I have a lot of ideas and I want to share them all right away. So I'm going to slow down because I literally am going to talk about 12 to 15 different items that you find in your storage room, and they're all under the umbrella of just in case. Like, I have this just in case. So we're going to cover those. But I want to let you know that the next 2 weeks after this, we are going to tackle all the crafts that are in there. And then we're going to go back and dive back into memories. What about all of the items that you are saving that have a memorable component to them? Okay, let's get started. We have two questions we're going to ask ourselves with all of these just in case items. The number one goal of storage, so the number one question is this something that I do use? I just don't use it very frequently. So I use it maybe one time a year. That would be true for Christmas decorations. I use it 2 or 3 times a year. That might be true for your turkey roaster pan or your KitchenAid mixer. I use it 4 or 5 times a year. Is it something that you use, you just don't want it in the general flow of your house, or it doesn't really fit where it would go in your house? Like, your kitchen is too small for all of the glorious cooking things that you have because you actually cook, unlike me. Or number two, is this item being saved for a specific person for a specific time in the future? That is really a question I want you to dive into. We put so many things in storage for somebody in the future, but we don't know when. Okay, so is it something that you use 1 to 4 times a year and you just don't have room for it in your general living space? Or is it being saved for a specific person for a specific time in the future? Let's start with GIFs. Not GIFs, like, you know, the dancing pictures, but GIFs, G-I-F-T-S. Gifts that you give people for holidays, for birthdays, for Hallmark holidays like Valentine's Day. Are you saving gifts that you have bought either on sale, or you bought them before and you forgot about them, or it was just such a great opportunity, you couldn't pass up the deal and now you bought it, but you don't even know who you're going to give it to or when? I want you to really look at those gifts that you have stored in your hot mess room or in your storage room. And I would encourage you to give them all away within the next 12 months. Like, get all of the gifts, put them in one area, and I want you to put post-it notes with a little piece of tape on each one. This one's going to be given to my son at Christmas, and this one's going to be given to my husband for Father's Day, and this one's going to be given to my mom for Mother's Day. And make a list, like make a good list of like, okay, these are all the gifts I've already bought, and go put them up in your Sunday basket in your bill pay area. That way, when you are going through the green folder and you're going through money and mail and you're planning out the gifts that you need to buy for birthdays and holidays, you will see that reminder of the gifts you already have purchased in your storage room. And then I will encourage you to stop buying in advance. Now, if you have young children, you can buy in advance. Like, if your children are, let's say, 6 years old and under, pretty much they're just happy with anything you give them, and often they play with the box longer than the item that you give them. So when my kids were younger, I would definitely buy in advance. I would buy clothing in advance. I would buy toys in advance. But after they were about kindergarten age, what I found was I would buy clothing in advance. Like, let's say I'd buy these adorable little jeans for Joey. And then I would find out when he was in kindergarten that he hated the feeling of jeans and he wouldn't wear jeans. He would only wear sweatpants. Great. So I saved money and I bought like the next three sizes of jeans, but the child won't wear them. So there is a point where saving money only gets you so far, and children are little humans. Like, they're not just little clones of us. We can't do whatever we want with them. They have their own ideas of what toys they want, what clothes they want to wear, how they want to decorate their room. So when we buy in advance and their tastes change, then we have this disconnect inside of us and we're frustrated. We're frustrated because A, we thought we were getting ahead by buying something in advance so we didn't have to do it and we weren't waiting until the last minute. We get frustrated because we actually saved money on buying their clothes or buying this toy, and so we were doing better with our budget. But if they're not going to wear it or they're not going to play with it, then it was a waste of all of those things. And once I finally learned that I could buy maybe 6 weeks in advance, but not 6 months or 6 years in advance, it really helped me, one, with the amount of items that I had in my storage room, but two, it did help me with my budget also, because you can always find things on sale. And for me, I finally got to the point where I would not buy the kids their holiday gifts until the end of November. I can't wait till December because I'm always afraid they're going to sell out of whatever my kids want. But I would wait until the end of November. My daughter is notorious for changing her mind for what she wants for her birthday and Christmas right up until the day before the actual day. So I just wait until almost the week before Christmas now, and I go out and I just buy stuff for her that she has said most recently, because her love language is gifts. So the idea of getting gifts and what kind of gifts she wants and talking about getting gifts is as much of a gift to her as actually receiving the gift. So this may be a long podcast. Gifts. Who is going to get it and when are they going to get it? That's our number two question. Is this being saved for a specific person for a specific date in the future? Yes, these gifts are all going to get assigned a date and a time in the future. You might also want to put this in your planner or on your Google Calendar. So when you see that birthday coming up, you could see in the note, gift is already bought in the basement. Right along the lines of gifts is going to be how you're going to wrap those gifts. Some of you, I know, you could wrap birthday gifts for your whole neighborhood for the next 3 years and not run out of wrapping paper. Similarly, with holiday paper, I want you to really think about what kind of gifts are you currently giving your family and friends and teachers and all of those things. Again, when my kids were little, I ran out of wrapping paper all the time. So then I would buy it on sale and I would buy extra and I would buy it when it was cute. As soon as my kids hit about the 10 to 12 year old age range, we almost stopped using wrapping paper entirely. And we now give gift cards, which I can literally give in a card. I don't even have to wrap that up. Or we will give a small gift. And so what I went to was I went to buying all white handled bags that I buy at the dollar store and colorful tissue paper that goes inside. That's it. That's all I have for gift wrap. And then I will, like, if I buy something big for Greg or we buy something big for somebody's birthday, we will actually go out and buy a roll of wrapping paper to wrap that birthday gift and usually save it and it'll wrap one or two more birthday gifts. In my basement, I have three rolls of wrapping paper. They will work for a baby shower, a wedding shower, or a birthday, boys or girls, those same three rolls. And then every year at the holidays, I buy two large jumbo rolls of wrapping paper for Christmas. And usually the week after Christmas, I go buy the two rolls for next year so that I have, I could get it at a discount, but I didn't do that this year. I wrapped even less gifts this year than I usually do. And so I was like, you know what? If I need a roll of wrapping paper next Christmas, I will buy a roll of wrapping paper next Christmas. This year I spent $6 on wrapping paper. It did not break the bank that I had to go out and pay full price for a jumbo roll of wrapping paper for $6. What is more frustrating is having 20 rolls of wrapping paper, all of which can wrap like one gift, and then they have frayed edges and pieces get ripped and ruined. Just give it away. Give it all away. Put it all in the recycle bin. Only keep your favorite wrapping paper and stop buying wrapping paper until you've actually bought a gift that needs to be wrapped. Next, let's move into some of the bigger things that you're saving just in case. The biggest thing that you're saving just in case is furniture. Oh my goodness, having furniture in my storage area is so stressful for me because I can't figure out question number two. And question number two is, who is this being saved for and when are they going to need it in the future? And almost always when we are saving furniture, we can't answer that question. We don't know who wants it. We don't know when they want it. We just know it's expensive and we don't want to give it away and rebuy it when we're going to need it in the future. So we made an exercise room in our basement and we used to have it as a guest bedroom. And I took the queen size mattress out of that bedroom and I put it in our storage room because I thought, well, just in case, I mean, it's a nice queen set mattress. When am I going to need this? It literally drove me crazy having that in our storage room, that big, huge, bulky mattress. Finally, after about 6 months, I was about to get rid of it and I realized, that might fit in Abby's bedroom. And she's been complaining about her twin size bed. So we rearranged her room and we moved that queen size bed up into her bedroom. She's 16 now. Best thing I ever did. Like, are you saving furniture that's in your bedroom that maybe could be used in your kids' bedrooms, but you didn't really think they were old enough for it or it would fit in the bedroom or something like that? Maybe upgrade what your kids already have or what you're using upstairs with what you're storing in your storage room. For the most part, furniture that is stored in a storage area is probably never going to be used again. And it might be a memory item, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks. That might be why you're holding on to it. But if it's a memory item and you don't want to incorporate it in your house and none of your other siblings or family members want to incorporate it in their house, and you're saving it for your children one day, find out if your kids are going to want that item one day. The next thing that is often in our garages, storage areas, hot mess rooms are anything that's related to a home repair or home improvement. This would include extra remnants of carpet and paint and linoleum and all of the tools that you would use to do those home repairs. I want you to really get honest with yourself and do you physically do those repairs yourself? When you're in the accumulation years, 20s and 30s, you do most of the home repairs yourself because it's a great way to save money. You have a lot of extra energy and you are nesting in your home and really, really enjoying it. As you age through your life, more often you will tend to hire people out to do those same tasks. We have all of these car washing supplies in our garage. We don't wash our cars. We take them to the Mike's car wash thing. but we still have these because Greg has these delusions of grandeur that we're actually going to wash our own cars. It's not that we can't wash our own cars or we don't have the supplies to wash our own cars, but when it's literally $8 and you could just drive through the car wash, that's what we tend to do. So are you going to, if your carpet gets ruined, use your carpet remnant? I've never used a carpet remnant in my house, nor have I seen anyone else do it, where they actually replace a piece of carpet with the carpet remnant in their storage room. I do have carpet remnants in my storage room, though. I store them up in the rafters. That's the easiest way to do it. And I only keep one small, like 3 by 2 foot section of carpet. I don't keep all the extra carpet they give you when they're done doing your house. If the carpet is ruined in more than that piece that would actually replace that carpeting, I'm going to recarpet the entire room. Furthermore, we had this house recarpeted 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. And the only carpeting I even still like is the family room carpeting. So if something happened that the steam cleaner or a carpet cleaning company could not repair the carpeting and we needed a carpet remnant, I'm going to replace the entire carpeting because the carpet remnant I have in my storage room is brand new carpeting. And the carpet I'm going to be repairing it with is 8-year-old worn out carpeting. And I realize 8 years old isn't a long time for carpeting. Some carpeting lasts 20 or more years, but we did not get top grade carpeting in the bedrooms because we had teenagers. And so we knew that we would be replacing this carpeting at, 10 to 15 years. Like, I'm not planning on replacing this carpeting right now, but if something tragic happened to our carpeting where I needed a larger piece than a 2 by 3 foot remnant, even if I needed that remnant, we're just going to replace all of the carpeting. So the items that you're keeping, I kept 2 tiles for the bathroom that we have tiled. I didn't keep all 12. I did keep the 2 boxes of Pergo flooring that we had for our kitchen. We did our kitchen 20 years ago. And actually, when we remodeled our kitchen, I did pull that Pergo carpeting or that Pergo flooring out of the basement, and we used a couple of planks of that when we had our kitchen redone. So some items you want to keep, you just don't need to keep a quantity. Also, we are getting new doors and windows around here. I cannot believe how excited you could be about new doors and windows. They actually are coming to measure tonight. I am so excited. But I'm equally as excited about the fact that I now get to get rid of all of the screens that I'm storing in my storage room. So we have screens that you could put on the outside. They're full screens for every single one of the windows in our house, which is 22, by the way. And they're all in our storage room. And I am like so excited because those are going to the curb. I no longer need those anymore. And the new windows that we're getting only have half screens and they go up and down. So we probably will uninstall those and store those in our basement too. Someone a long time ago, a neighbor who's really good at aesthetics, said that if you take the screens off of your windows, your house looks more open from the road, which I agree with her. And also, if you have screens on your house, like a couple of our windows on the east side of our house are completely ruined because we had the screens up for so long and the sun and the rain beat in through those screens and the aluminum from the screens actually got etched onto the panes of our windows. And so they can never fully get cleaned, which is also why I'm excited about getting new windows. So those screens are in our basement. I am super excited to get rid of those. As I am talking about this, you may realize, oh, we got new windows a decade ago. You're right. The screens that we're storing in our storage room go to windows we don't even have on our house anymore. Really look at the things that are in that home repair section. Do you still have that carpeting? Do you still have that linoleum? Are you putting screens back on your house? Not putting screens back on your house? What are you storing there? And is everything in there still good and still applicable? How about old sporting equipment and exercise equipment? And what about really big things like pool tables and ping pong tables and air hockey tables and all of those big fun entertainment ideas? First of all, think about how old your kids are, grandkids are, and family members. Think about how often you have people over to your house and what you typically do for entertainment. If you're always in the kitchen and the family room and the TV's always on and the and the fire's on and you have good appetizers and everyone just hangs out and talks, then do you need all of those entertainment items? Maybe not. Would it, if you want to have board games or play cards or play ping pong, then I would like you to do number one. The goal of storage is for items that you use 1 to 4 times a year. I think that we should have ping pong tournaments every Thanksgiving from here on out. Go ahead, go to November, go to Thanksgiving, put it on your calendar, get the ping pong table ready, buy new ping pong bowls. Maybe even you do something really fun and at everybody's space for Thanksgiving, they get a paddle with their name on the handle. You know, that's like their place marker for their space. And you buy a bunch of different color ping pong balls, and round one is going to be the orange ping pong balls. And then whoever moves on to the next round gets blue ping pong balls. Like, really have fun with it. Create a memorable experience out of this gigantic ping pong table that you have stored somewhere in your house. Really, really use it. And then the rest of the year, when we talk about crafts next week, maybe that becomes your crafting table the rest of the year. What is the purpose of this ping pong table, of this air hockey table, of this old sporting equipment, of the treadmill? You're not going to get rid of all of it, but when you really look at that category as a whole, are there some pieces that you can get rid of to give you some space? And then can you purposefully say, I'm going to walk on the treadmill once a week when I listen to Lisa's podcast. We are going to use the ping pong table once a year at Thanksgiving. We are going to have, I'm going to clear out a section of the basement, the unfinished basement, for when the grandkids come over or my friends who have kids that come over, and they could play air hockey and they could play trains and they could play this other thing, and it's going to be set up. Use the stuff that you're saving for a person for a specific time in the future. Another item that you all told me is in your hot mess room, multiple people said this is in your hot mess room, are cleaning supplies. Cleaning supplies. I personally don't use very many cleaning supplies. I love my vacuum. I use Windex for literally everything. I use the Mr. Clean floor cleaner, just a capful, to clean our pergo floors, and Brillo pads on occasion. Oh, and Mr. Clean magic erasers. Love those things. And Dawn soap, laundry soap. I use dryer sheets, and I actually wash my washing machine with those Tide packets. I do have Resolve to clean your carpets. I'm going through all my cleaners. And I do have some vinegar on hand so that I can use that for just various cleaning supplies. Okay, I just gave you my sum total. I personally don't use toilet bowl cleaner. We do have some bleach. I just use one of those. Well, first of all, I have somebody clean the house. But also, I use those things that you clip on the end, the automatic toilet bowl cleaner wand things. I don't actually have toilet bowl cleaner. I don't use a duster spray. I don't use all these different things that you buy. You buy all of these different things because you think they're going to clean better than the basics. And really, not much beats Windex and vinegar. Those are all you really need. So again, just like the gifts, I would like you to look at your cleaning supplies. And you really don't need to have more than a 6-month cleaning supply of cleaners. What can you comfortably use in your house in 6 months? And other than that, get rid of it. Number one, get rid of any cleaner that you don't use on a weekly basis. Unless, our question number one is this something that you use 1 to 4 times a year? So do you clean your carpets twice a year with your own carpet cleaner and you have carpet cleaner solution for that? Then you get to keep that. Or do you clean your windows and you use a certain window cleaner and certain window cleaning supplies and you do that twice a year? You get to keep that. If someone came to your door and sold you a cleaning supply 5 years ago and you paid $80 for it and you still feel like a sucker every time you see it in your storage room, give it away. Cleaning supplies can be donated to most food banks. Most food banks will take cleaning supplies even if they're partially used, not all the way used, but if you've tested it and it's not one that you're going to use, because you cannot use food stamps to buy cleaning supplies, and many of their patrons need cleaning supplies as well. Also, if there are any natural disasters, which we had way too many of last fall, there's always a call at that time for any extra cleaning supplies you have that can be donated. So your cleaning supplies can be donated guilt-free. Go ahead and clean out your cleaning supply area and just keep your favorites and heaven forbid something happens and you need to rebuy one of those cleaners, it's better than having all of these cleaners on hand all of the time. All right, let's talk about cooking supplies. There are many items that I do keep in my storage area that are not stored in our kitchen. I have a KitchenAid mixer. We have a second Keurig. It's my daughter's Keurig. I keep our turkey roaster down there and our turkey lifters that you lift the turkey out with. I think that's about it. But if you do not have a large kitchen, or if you are heavy into baking and cooking and you just do canning and all of that stuff that you would do in a kitchen, it really is going to be great if you could set up one of these Home Depot shelving units just for overflow kitchen supplies. And you're going to rotate that out, kind of like you rotate your clothing in your closet from fall to winter to spring. You're going to do the same thing with your kitchen. So as you change your seasonal clothing, you're probably changing the foods that you make in your kitchen. And now it's being recorded in spring, will be a great time to move the cookie supplies and the turkey supplies and some of those crock pot type things that you may be getting tired of because it's the end of winter down in or into your shelving for your off-season cooking, and pull out the grilling and the salads and the summer things that you're going to be needing soon, and go ahead and rotate those out. But be realistic with yourself. I used to make the kids cakes when they were little. I loved making their birthday cakes. I even bought like the 3D teddy bear. And Joey, I made, I took a plastic train track and I put cupcakes on it like it was a choo-choo train, and that was his cake one year. I made the most elaborate birthday cakes when my kids were little. And now I literally go to the grocery store the day of their birthday, buy one off of the shelf. Like, I do not even pre-order it. I say, can you put this name on this? They write the name on it. I bring it home. I've been doing this for 6 years. Greg found out I was doing this year, and he's like, what do you mean that's how you do? You don't pre-order it and all this other stuff? I said, nope. He's like, he thought I'd been pre-ordering it all of that time. I saved myself all that. I just, whatever's in the case, that is, those are the options we have for a birthday cake. The birthday cake, obviously, is not the biggest thing on my list. So anything cake supply related, I don't have any cookie cutters anymore. I used to make elaborate cookies for the kids. All we make now are the kind that already, all you have to do is break them apart and cook them. And I don't even make those. The kids would love it if I made more cookies. Here's the thing. I might start making more cookies for the kids in the future. Maybe when Joey's up to college, I will home make some cookies for him. Those will be break-aparts. But when they have children, or, you know, I don't see my kids all the time and they only come over for holidays, maybe I will make homemade sugar cookies. But you know what? They will still sell cookie cutters for 69 cents 5 years ago, just like they do now. And I can go buy 3 brand new cookie cutters for $3 total and not store them for the next 12 years in my basement. So are you still using those cooking supplies that you have, or has your family evolved into a new stage of life, and the next time they'll be back in that kind of a stage of life will be 10 to 15 years from now? You'll be able to rebuy those cooking supplies. And this is something next week we're going to talk about a lot with crafts. Just because you're really good at something at one time and your family really loved that you did that during that phase of life, doesn't mean that you either A, will never do it again, or B, need to do it right now. Each phase has its own things that are unique, and right now, cooking is not high on our list. Next thing that is in your hot mess room or your storage area right now are toys. We, as mothers, tend to want to hold on to toys longer than even our children do. Like, our children will say, I'm done playing with XYZ, and they will give us those toys, especially if you have your children living in their bedroom like mini apartments and they have to clean their room every weekend and they went through the kids' organization series and they now have what they love and use in their bedroom and they're over the age of 12 and they're not using the main living spaces for toys anymore. They will more readily give up their toys because they want to have an organized bedroom to play in and they only want the things that they are currently into. We remember purchasing the toy, giving them the toy as the gift, possibly playing the toy with the child and it was a memory experience. We know that the toy still has value and didn't get used to death because, you know, the toys are made so well today and most of them are made out of plastic that they literally don't wear out. They would have more use. And oh, wouldn't that be fun to have for grandchildren one day? Meanwhile, your kids are 10, 12, and 14. And you're already storing toys for grandchildren one day, which is probably 20 years in the future at least. And if you think the kids 20 years in the future are going to play with these same toys, they are not. If you have the space to store them and you can bin them up by age and you want to save them, that's fine. But if you enjoyed buying toys for your children, even at garage sales, I loved shopping at garage sales for my kids for toys. You're going to love to do that 20 years from now when your kids have kids. And remember, when they have kids, they're babies. And some of the toys you're saving are for when they're 5 or 6 years old. And if you look at children today, 5 and 6 year olds do not play with toys the way 5 and 6 year olds did 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Like, everything is evolving and changing. And while a great set of blocks and Legos are never going to go out of style, there are always going to be new fun toys. And you are going to want to have a really fun toy at your house when your grandkids come over. So there's no reason to be keeping these older toys. You could save some, maybe a bin full, but you don't need to save the quantity that you have. And the other thing we might be worried about is that our kids will change their mind and they'll want to come back to playing with the toys that we put in the storage room. This tends to be true for children under the age of 8. But after your child is 7 or 8 years old, it is very, very rare that they are going to say, "Hey, I want to now play with something that they used to play with." They develop mentally and educationally have moved beyond whatever you've taken out of rotation. The caveat to that is, if your children are not in all-day school yet, or you want to make it through one more summer with this toy, I'm fine with that. Put on the date that you are going to clean out the toys September 1st, after you've made it through another summer. So children under 8 tend to get bored with the toys that they have, and sometimes pulling some toys out of the storage room or the hot mess room or the basement will give you an extra couple hours, especially on a very rainy week, on a snow day, in the middle of summer when the kids are bored, and really we just need to give them jobs to do, but they're bored. So you get out new toys. Have an awesome garage sale in August and sell it all and take the money and go get ice cream and go to the local pool or something like that. But by September 1st, if your kids are 7 or older, try to clear out all of those toys. Home decor items. I want to tell you that we rarely go backwards in our decorating. This is true in everything I'm saying. We rarely go back to furniture we put downstairs. We rarely go back and do home repairs of things that we've saved. We rarely are going to go back and pull out toys that we've saved. Same is true for home decor. Maybe you spent a lot of money on something, or it was really hard to find the item that you have in your basement that is home decor, but the odds of us actually pulling it back out into our living spaces are very rare. Most of us decorate our house, live with those decorations for 10, 15, 20 years, and then, like I'm doing right now, I'm redecorating my house. It is so much fun. I'm really looking at each thing that is out and deciding if I do or don't want it and how I would redecorate our house. But for the most part, I'm not getting things out of my storage area to put in our house. I'm going to the store and buying some new trendy items to go with everything else that is classic that I'm keeping. One of the easiest home decor items to eliminate, well, maybe not easy, it was really hard for my mom, but once you really look at it this way, is vases. So almost all flower arrangements now come in a vase, like they give it to you in a vase. It's the same one. You have 10 of them in your storage area. We tend to hold on to these vases. Now, in my mom's defense, she has amazing flower gardens and lots of flowers, and she takes people flowers all the time. So she needs vases so that she can constantly be giving her gift of flowers and beauty to everyone. That is not the majority of us. I told you I replaced all of my flower gardens with grass. I don't even grow flowers. So the only way flowers are going to get in our house is purchased flowers. And when Greg purchases them on a holiday, they always come in a new vase. And when we just purchase them at the store in a stock, we have plenty of vases. I put all of the vases on my kitchen counter one day, and I picked 5 that I kept. A couple little ones, a couple skinny ones, and a big fat one. That's all I need. I don't need any more sizes than that. As a matter of fact, as soon as I got my flowers for Valentine's Day this year, I took the vase and I donated it instantly because I know I don't need that one. I already have one like that in my cabinet. All right, this is going to be a hard one. Some of you, you all put in this Facebook group, this was a couple of months ago, what was in your hot mess room so I could figure out how I could actually help you. And one of you said that you have adult children and they already went through all the boxes of the things that you had saved for them. They took what they wanted to their new house and then they left items in your basement. It is hard, but you need to let your children's items go if they don't want to take them. You don't need to keep their trophies. You don't need to keep their extra stuffed animals. You don't need to keep these items. If they went through and they picked what is important to them and they took it and they said, thank you so much for saving this for me so that I have the choice of what I want to take into my new home. I'm 25. I really appreciate this. They didn't tell you that's what they meant. That was that. That's exactly what that meant. I just translated it for you. The rest needs to go. Just close up the boxes and put them at the curb. I know it's hard, but they don't want it. And you don't need it. And the memory has already passed. And now you have future experiences with them. They're still alive. They still live in your town. You're still enjoying life with them. But having those boxes in the basement, you just don't need them anymore. So if you have done number two, which is saving things for a specific person for a specific time in the future, that time in the future comes and that person does not want that item. It is not your job now to figure out how you can repurpose it or who else might want it or what we could. No, just get rid of it. You did your job. You saved it for that person until that time in the future. And now it's time for that item to go. So I'm giving you permission to go ahead and let it go. And I want you to think about yourself. Like if your mom shows up tomorrow with everything from your childhood, are you going to want everything from your childhood? No, not at this point in your life. You're not. It would be cool. It would be nostalgic. It would be fun to go through, but it's not something you need to keep forever. I want you to really hear me. It is okay to recycle things. It is okay to donate things. We do not have to sell everything and get value out of everything we are taking out of our hot mess room. This is really hard because you worked really hard for the money to buy whatever it is that is in your hot mess or your storage room. Also, sometimes the things that are in your hot mess in your storage room were given to you as a gift because they had financial value. You were told by a loved one, sell this because it has financial value. This is part of your inheritance. This is money for you. And you look in your hot mess room and you look in your storage room and you see dollar signs. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but when you actually get around to selling those items, they are not worth very much. And the value for those items is diminishing every single day. Because the resale market is flooded with items coming out of people's storage rooms and hot mess rooms and estates. And there just is not very much value in the physical things we have anymore. And while that is really difficult to hear, once you finally embrace that and say, she's right, this stuff does not have financial value, then you are free to make a decision, which is number one. Is this something that you will use 1 to 4 times a year? If so, start using it. Or number two, are you saving this for a specific person at a specific date in the future? And if it's something that you want to sell, no, you're not saving it for a specific person for a specific date in the future, and you're not using it 1 to 4 times a year. And so I'm going to really, really encourage you in the next 6 weeks to actually sell it. If there is something in your hot mess room or something in your storage room that you want to sell, I want you to carry it and put it in your living room or dining room. I want you to see it every day. I want you to snap a picture of it on your phone and then find out where you can sell this. A lot of the resale shops that take clothing, consignment shops, will also take furniture, art, home decor items. They will take jewelry. A lot of this stuff that you are going to list online, they will also take at home decor shops. And I'm telling you, it is extremely rare that you finally get around to selling all of these items and you make a good amount of money. One of the stories in that Facebook thread was someone who had done this. They had saved all of this. They'd been told by their family members that this stuff had so much value. And by the time they sold it all, they had somewhere between $200 or $400. It was very disheartening. I want us to get it out. Don't keep storing it. The longer you store it, the less it's going to be worth. Furniture almost has zero value. I'm just telling you, furniture has very little resale value right now. Antiques, maybe, but antiques are really hard to sell. So sorry to be a Debbie Downer, but we really do need to make decisions on these items and sell them. And if you know you're not going to get very much money out of it, let's say you're going to get $200 or $400 out of it, how much time is it going to take you to list and sell all of these items? Is it a better use of your time at this stage of your life to just donate it and get the tax write-off? Yes, it's $200 to $400 that maybe potentially you could earn in the future, but do you have the time to do that? Or, you know, if you were paying a professional organizer for one day to organize, it's going to be, you know, somewhere between $200 and $500 for them to come over for 5 hours. So what if you just, instead of hiring a professional organizer, take all the items that you were going to sell and donate them, and boom, you had all that room in your storage room. So there is always a trade-off, time versus money, time versus money, and decide which you need more of right now, more time or more money. Organization is always going to give you more time. When you're not walking around looking at all those items, yelling at you, sell me, I'm worth money. You're going to have less stress, you're going to have more time, and you're going to feel more organized. Last thing we're going to talk about is clothing. In my opinion, there should be zero clothing in your storage room unless you have kids that are like under the age of 12 or 14, or you have a very large family with lots and lots of kids. For the most part, if there is clothing in your storage room, I really, really, really want to know why. Here are a couple of reasons when it would be acceptable. Number one, you live in an apartment or an old house, you have a really, really small closet in your master bedroom, and you actually do 2 or 4 times a year, take the winter stuff out, box it up, put it in storage, and then bring out the next season because your closet in your master bedroom is just too small. That's acceptable. That's rule number one, goal of storage for items you use 1 to 4 times a year. Totally works for me. Other reason why you might have clothing in your basement is because your kids are 1, 3, 5, and 7 years old, and you are keeping the clothes from the 7-year-old for the 5-year-old and from the 3-year-old for the 1-year-old. Totally makes sense to me. Or you're buying 6 months ahead, only 6 months ahead in clothing. And so you have this bin system in your basement. And when you have little kids, people have these clothing bin systems. And as long as you work the system, it really does work. And in that case, you have the bins and they're labeled. This is 3 months, 6 months, you know, boys, girls, all of that. I've seen some elaborate systems that work really, really well. In that case, you're meeting both rules. Number one, you are using these items 1 to 4 times a year because as you're cleaning out your kids' closets and changing over to the next size, you're going into the storage room, pulling up the next size and re-binning everything. It takes some time and some work, but definitely works. And number two, these items are being saved for a specific person at a specific date in the future. What I did was I did this system until my kids were like 2 or 3 years old. And then I stopped. Now, of course, I have a boy and a girl. So maybe if I had 2 girls, I would have done it longer, but I had a boy and a girl. And pretty much from that point forward, I would always buy a few new items. They had grandparents that bought them items. There was one friend that would donate clothes to us for both the boy and the girl. And I bought a lot at resale shops because resale shops are so inexpensive, or garage sales, and the kids don't wear the clothes long enough to wear them out anyway. So that's how I did clothing. Now, we had one person donate clothes for Abby and one person donate clothes for Joey. So nice. Like, they just did it. And they did it for years and years and years. It was such a blessing. As soon as they would give me, they gave me bags of clothes. Both of them would give me bags of clothes. I would open up the bags. I would go through all the clothes. I would pick up the ones that I thought I would want at the time when my kids were that size. And I would donate 80%. Like, I only kept 20% of what they gave me until my kids grew into it. Maybe my kids didn't wear that style, or for whatever reason, like, or they wouldn't wear dresses or whatever. Most of it was style. And my kids got to the point where they knew what we were doing. I would say, oh, we got bags from so-and-so. I would open up all the bags. I would hold them up. They would tell me in advance if that was something they were going to wear in the future or they wanted to try on now. We tried it all on. It was like being in a dressing room at home. And then at the end, I would donate all of those plus any of the clothes we pulled out of their closet at that time. Clothing maintenance takes time. It takes time, usually a day, 3 or 4 times a year. Like, I spend a day 3 or 4 times a year going through my closet and both the kids' closets. Like, it's a production. I start in the morning. I figure out who's in the best mood. I'm like, we're going through your closet. They're like, oh. But usually they know I'm going shopping after that, so they're okay with it. We clear out what is worn out, what doesn't fit anymore, what just doesn't feel right, just doesn't look right anymore, or style they're not. I don't care why they're getting rid of their clothes. They don't have to justify it. They get to get rid of what is worn out. And then we look at what's left and what holes we have in our shopping, and we go shopping. After your kids are about, like I said, 5 to 7 years old, you really are not going to use a basement clothing system unless you have multiple kids and, you know, you have a very large family. And so this is just how it's done. But for most of us, that's not how it's done. And so you don't need to have clothing items in your storage room. The only other clothing that you might have in your storage room is clothing from people who have passed away or baby clothing from your kids. And I will talk about both of those during our Memories Week. All right, if you are in the Hot Mess Room Challenge, your emails this week are going to be follow along what I've just said here, not every single thing I've said here, but you're going to get your daily assignments to go and go through those gifts. Figure all those gifts out today, and it's okay to donate gifts that you bought and you were saving. You're not going to give them away. So just donate them. It's totally fine. No big deal. If you're not doing the Hot Mess Room Challenge, go ahead and sign up. So go to organize365.com/HMR. You'll get the ebook, you'll get the printables, you'll get how to set up a storage room, and then you will start with day one. So you won't be on, everybody's not on the same day, and you won't miss any days. You'll start with day one. It takes 28 days to get through it. It's a completely free program. Do it. It'd be awesome. Next week, we are going to go through crafts. And the week after that, we're going to go through memories. I want you to really be hard on yourself this week. I want you to go into the hot mess room. I want you to go into that storage area. And if it is not a craft and it is not a memory, I want you to decide. Decide based on these two questions. Number one, is it something that you use 1 to 4 times a year, but you want out of the general flow of the house? If that's true, put it in a bin, label it, use the free printables that I gave you, put a lid on it, put it on the shelving system, put it in your home reference binder. We know what's in there. We know how often we use it. We know how to get it. Number two, is it an item that's being saved for a specific person for a specific date in the future? Again, awesome. Now you're going to just use those banker's boxes that I told you about a few in a different podcast, and you're going to label that with the person's name and date on it. Like, this is all stuff that I'm saving for my sister until she gets married, or this is all stuff that I'm saving for my brother until he gets back from the military, or this is stuff that I'm saving for my kids when they go to college, or, you know, who is the person and what is the date? And then stack those boxes in the corner, their banker's boxes, so they'll stack floor to ceiling, and you're just going to make a stack for each person that you're storing for. That is your assignment this week. I will see you next week.